show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now let's go back to verse 4 and read these words again. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God." But God. Now look down in verse 5. "But God hath quickened us together with Christ." Now look at verse 6. "And hath raised us up together with Christ, and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now this message is for us. That's who this message is for. This message is for us. It's for us who God has given life. Spiritual and eternal life. It's for us who God has given faith. For us who believe, who cast all our care on Christ, who totally, completely rely entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This is for us. First thing I want you to see here, I'm going to go through these first 2 points rather quickly. I want to get to this third thing. But first of all, note what God's done for us. Note what He's done for us. 3 things it says here. He's quickened us, He's raised us, and He's made us to sit. He's quickened us, He's raised us, and He's made us to sit. All we were dead. That's it. Look at verse 1. "You hath He quickened." You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. I love the simplicity. I love the plainness of the Apostle Paul. There's no way on this earth you can misunderstand dead. You can't make dead mean something else other than dead. That's what we were, was dead. Now this is one of those things that the dead man hates about our gospel. This is one of the things that the dead man hates about sovereign grace, about irresistible grace, about invincible grace. This is what the dead man hates. When we read about Nicodemus and it says he laughed and scoffed at Christ and he said, "What, can I enter again into my mother's womb?" That's recorded there to tell us that's what's in the heart of natural man. That's what natural man thinks about the fact that we're dead and we have to be quickened of God. That's what man thinks about it. It's foolishness to him. It's foolishness to him. Now, who did the quickening? God did. Who did the regenerating? God did. Who gave the life? God did. But God hath quickened us. God hath quickened us. We couldn't help Him. We were dead. We couldn't help our first parents. We couldn't help our first birth. We had nothing whatsoever to do with our first generation and our first birth. We have nothing whatsoever to do with this one either. Nothing whatsoever. All right, look at what else God did for us. Ephesians 2, verse 6. He raised us. He quickened us, made us alive, and He raised us. God didn't make us alive to leave us in the grave. He didn't make us alive and leave us in the tomb. He didn't make us alive and leave us in that dark dungeon of despair. He made us alive and He raised us. He raised us. It's not God's purpose for His people to walk around this earth all gloomy and sad and cast down like we're living in a tomb. Like we've been quickened from death and we've been raised from the grave. So we ought to walk around happy, rejoicing. You reckon Lazarus came out of that grave after Christ said, "Come forth." And he came forth. And he'd been dead 4 days. You reckon he came forth out of that grave all gloomy and despondent and sad? You reckon he sat there at the table with the Savior in those days when the Savior had raised him? You reckon he sat there and he was all frowning and down in the mouth about something? That man had been raised from the dead. That's what we have. We've been raised from the dead. And here's the best part. Look here, verse 6. God's made us sit. He's made us to sit. All the work of atonement is finished by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all done. The work of making us righteous, it's done. It's done. the work of redeeming us from the curse of the law and from the bondage of our sin and our corruption, it's finished. It's finished. The work of reconciling us to God, making us the friend of God, making us to be sons of God. That work's finished. It's done. That work of making us accepted by thrice holy God. It's finished. It's completely done. And now God's quickened us, and He's raised us, and He's made us to rest. He's made us to sit down. He made us to sit down in Christ. Now, nothing about any of this, nothing about any of this we just read did the sinner play a part in. Nothing. We sinned and we died. That's it. We sinned and we died. That's it. God did everything. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He did everything here. All right, why? Why did He do it? Why did He do that? Why did He do this for us? Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. That's why. He came to us who were bankrupt. He came to us who were poor. He came to us who had nothing whatsoever to pay. And He came to us rich in mercy. He withheld from us everything that we deserve simply because He would. He said unto Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And then here's why He did it. Verse 4 says, for His great love wherewith He loved us. John said, not that we love God. We didn't love Him. His great love wherewith He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Does His love save? Does it? He sent His Son, didn't He? Does His Son save? Sure He does. He accomplished our redemption. He accomplished propitiation for His people. He saves. His love saves. His love's everlasting. God doesn't love today and then stop loving His child tomorrow. He doesn't love His child today and then tomorrow throw His child in hell because of something they did. That's what will works religion teaches. You have to do something to keep God loving you. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not true. That's not true. There was not, quite frankly, Eric, there was nothing in you to love. Same with me. Same with me. Nothing in us to love. But God, wherewith, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. He told Israel, I didn't turn my affection and set my love upon you because you were some mighty nation. You were least. You were smaller than any of these nations. I did it because I loved you. Because I'd have mercy to you. So because I'd have be gracious to you. And then there's verse 5. This is another thing. This is why He did it. In parentheses there. By grace are you saved. By grace. He said to Moses, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. That means we know it can't be by merit because grace is not merited. And we know it can't be by merit because there was nothing in us to merit this. It's by grace that you are saved. That's past tense, brethren. I know we're not yet there, and I know we're not yet there physically, spiritually. But brethren, you are saved. You are saved. Grace has saved you. Grace has saved you. We're saved now. Look here, here's another reason He did it. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He did it because He wants to show His child everything that He's done for His child. His wisdom. Oh, the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, Paul said. Oh, His ways are past finding out. But you know what? One day we're going to find out. Because in the ages to come, He's going to show us. He said, I've done this to show you the exceeding riches of My grace, the exceeding kindness that I've shown towards you through Jesus Christ. All is of grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Does grace constrain you? Doesn't grace constrain you? The love of God constrains you. Doesn't it make us see that all that we owe is to God for grace, what He's done to us. I pray He'll take that grace and He'll bind us to Him, that He'll bind us to Him. That's what we need. We need to be constrained by His grace. All right, here's the second point. Note our togetherness. Look at our togetherness here. Verse 5, it says He's quickened us together with Christ. Verse 6 says He's raised us up together with Christ. And then it says, and He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, before God quickened you, before He regenerated you, before He regenerated me, before He gave us faith and taught us what He's done for us, before He did any of that, we weren't together. We weren't together. I was dead in sin way down in South Arkansas. Have you ever looked at the map and see how far South Arkansas is from New Jersey? It's a long ways if you just go a straight line from South Arkansas to New Jersey. I'm talking about right down there on the 4 miles from the Louisiana line. I'm talking about right down there in nowhere. It's a long ways if you just draw a straight line from there to New Jersey. It's a lot further when you go the winding path that I went to get here, the winding path God took me on to get here. Most of you were dead right here in New Jersey. Some of you were dead in South America. We weren't together. We were not together. And yet, when we didn't even know it, while we were dead in our sins, God, before the foundation of the world, had put us together in Christ Jesus. He chose us. He elected the people unto salvation in Christ. And then, right then, He put us eternally, inseparably, forever together right there in Christ. When Christ came to this earth and He walked this earth and He obeyed the law and He satisfied God and He took our sins and He put away the justice, satisfied the justice of God, we were together in Christ when He did that. When He went in that grave and He buried our body of sins that it might be destroyed, that it might henceforth not come forth from the dust, but be forever forgotten of God along with all our sin. We were together with Christ right there. And then when He came out of that grave and went into glory with God and sat down, we were together with Christ. And then in His mercy and His grace, while we were going all in the same direction. We were going with the course and the flow of this world, but we weren't together. We weren't together. It's like this world. Everybody in this world is going in the same direction, but they're not of the same mind. They're not of the same mind. They don't like each other. And we didn't. That was how we were. But God came to us, crossed our path with this good news, and He began a work of grace in our heart. And when He did that, and quickened us, He began to bring this one together with this one. He had you marked out, Art, and Cheryl marked out to meet together, to bring you together so that you're together with Scott and together with Christine. And then he brought Ravi together with Debbie. And He brought you together with Brother Inderjeet and Sister Inderjeet. He brought y'all together. Eric, He brought you together to meet them. And He brought me here. He brought us all together. He just kept working until He's got us now right here together. Together. And then look at this. Look at this right here. And He's made us, He's quickened us together with Christ. And He's raised us up together with Christ. And He's made us sit together in Christ. Oh, I love the fact that you and I are together. I love that fact. Oh, but I rejoice without ceasing in the fact we're together in Christ. That's where we're together, in Christ. We were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. But now, but God, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Near by the blood of Christ. Now here's the third thing. This is what I want to get to. This is what caught my attention. Look at this now. Note where we are together. Verse 6 says, God has raised us up together and He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now there's going to be a literal true resurrection. We're going to end up being there in our totality of our being, in body, soul, and spirit. We're going to be there in heaven with Him, in that new heaven and that new earth. It's not some mystical place. It's not some magical thing up in the cloud. It is a new heavens and a new earth, where everything is righteous, that God's made righteous in Christ Jesus. It's an earth just like this one's going to be. It's a new heaven and a new earth. He made this one, didn't He? Huh? He made this one. He can make a new one through the blood of Christ. It's going to be like this. It's not going to be some magical, mystical, cocoa puff floating around thing. It's a real place. But now look here. He says right now. He says right now, right here, right now, you who He's quickened, you who He's made alive, you who He's given faith in Christ, who He's robed in the righteousness of Christ, He says right now, we are seated together in heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're dead. God says, I don't know who you are. Who? You're dead. I don't even recognize who your old man was. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. It's hid there because we can't see it with these eyes. It's hid because this world can't see it. But it's not hid to faith. We see it by faith. We're hid with our life. It's hid with Christ in God. He's raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now God says that His children have been born of incorruptible seed, of the living Word that lives and abides forever. That means within us, that new man is a new, living, eternally incorruptible new man. Brand new. Brand new. Now, our corruption is in our old nature. That's all it is. But that corruption can't touch our new man. And the new man is the true man. Now listen, Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Does He die? Is He going to die again? Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. The only reason death had dominion over Him the first time is because He laid down His life, because He gave Himself to die under the penalty of our sin. But death has no more dominion over Him now. He's conquered death. He has the dominion over death. For in that He died unto sin once. One time. He died unto sin. That's all the law requires, is to die unto sin once. That's it. And He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. He lives to God. Likewise, reckon, count it to be so, impute it to be so, mark it down to be so. You also yourselves are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what He said. Christ said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. Does Christ dwell in you? If He does, the resurrection dwells in you and the life dwells in you. I'm the resurrection and the life. I got an email from Brother Don last night about a pastor down in Mississippi that I didn't know him. My grandfather knew him well, and several other pastors I know knew him well. His wife walked away from the house. He said he hadn't been feeling good all week. She went to the store to come back. He was gone. I don't mean gone from the house bodily. I mean his body was there, but he was gone. He was gone. He went to be with the Lord. He had the resurrection and the life in Him. And He left. He went home. He went to his long home. He that believeth in me, God said, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. Now, believer, I want you to do something with me. Let's leave this place right now. All right, put everything out of your mind. We're fixing to leave this place behind. All right, in your heart of faith now, I want you to look with me. Lift your eye of faith up. Lift it way up. I want you to look beyond the clouds and look beyond the sun and the planets and all of those things. Look far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Look far above all of that. Go to that throne room. Go into the holiest of holies. Now let's see what we see. What do we see there? First thing we see there's God Himself. There's God. There's Holy God. Oh, we better not draw too near now. That's Holy God we're talking about. Should we draw near and look on Him? Of course we should. Of course we should. We just read, now in Jesus Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Of course we should draw near to Him. Near, so very near to God. Nearer I cannot be. For in the person of His Son, I am as near as He. So dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be. The love wherewith He loves the Son, that's the love He loves me. The God who chose you by grace, the God who sent His Son by grace, the God who saved us by grace, He calls on us and says, now, you draw near to me. Listen to this. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Because by His grace, our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Oh, if you were in your natural state, if you were dead in your sins, like many that sit here today in front of us, I wouldn't say draw near to Him. He's of too pure eyes to behold iniquity. Oh, no, you can't draw near to Him. But child of God, you can draw near to Him. Do you see Him there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Your Creator, your Upholder, your Sustainer, your Giver of life, of everything you possess. There He is. Draw so near to Him. Come so near to Him until you say this, until you delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Delight yourself in Him, in God. In fact, draw so near until your heart overflows with this assurance, till you're saying, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire but Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and He's my portion forever. Now do you see Him there? Now imagine this, brethren. What amazing, amazing love. What amazing grace God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of the living God. Oh. Do you see Him? Now, see Him who the Father adores. Now look upon Him whom all eyes there have their eyes upon. All the angels and all the spirits of just men made perfect, they're all looking with the Father at this one. There He is. Can you see Him? Try to see Him. He's sitting there, and He's a lamb as it has been slain. But He's a lamb in the throne. A lamb in the throne. Oh, he's seated. You know why he's seated? Because when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Believer, enter into his rest. Enter into his rest. Labor in your heart. Labor in your mind. What happens when we start doing this is that old man of flesh just keeps trying to come in. He keeps trying to interfere with our thoughts and our meditation. And he comes in and he wants to say, don't look, don't look, don't look. Put him off. Put him off. And labor to put him off. Wrestle to put him off. And enter in. Enter into that throne room. And enter into that rest. Christ is seated. He's seated there. That lamb with those pierced hands and those pierced feet, he's seated there in a throne. In a throne. Look away from your flesh. Look away from your everything that plagues you. And look to him in whom you are complete, he said. Complete. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. He's seated. He's resting. He's resting. Oh, why as though your life is in this world? Why as though living in this world are you subject to ordinances? Why do you let men and why do you let that old man, why do you let your flesh keep on saying, oh, touch not, taste not, handle not. Don't deprive yourself of that. Bring yourself into bondage. Oh, bring yourself back under the law. Why, as though living in the world, do you do that? That's no wisdom at all. That's will worship. That's all it is. It's a punishing the body is what it is. But it don't satisfy the flesh. Oh, no. Labor to enter in. He says, God says this is so. Whether we understand it, whether we can enter into it or not, God says you're seated there with him. The work's done. All right, look here. Notice, he's seated on a throne. He's seated on a throne. That's because he's triumphed over all your enemies, child of God. He's seated on a throne. That's because God has set him there. He's the king. That's the place of favor. That's the place of honor. That's the place of dignity. All things are under his feet. All things are under his feet. All power in heaven and earth belongs unto him. That's right. This is who we're talking about. Now, what is it that you're worried about? Huh? Oh, that little pissant of a man that keeps on nagging you and won't let you rest at night because you're worried about he's going to take your job from you or put more on you or going to do this and that, pass this law and that law, and he's going to do this and that to you. This is our Redeemer seated there on a throne with all dominion, turning the king's heart whithersoever he will. Take all that worry and all that fretfulness and all that care and take it right now. Walk into the throne room. Walk in there. You're welcome. I've never once gone to my father's house and knocked on the door. Never. I just walk in. He's my father. Walk in. Walk in there now and come up to the king, your king, and just lay all that down at his feet. And leave it all there. Leave it all there. He's head over all things to the church. And believer, you're a member of that body. That's a fullness of his body. You're a member of that body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. He says, bring all that worry to me. Set it here. I, of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, don't you worry your pretty little head about it. I'm going to take care of it. And then notice this. He's at the right hand of God. Oh, that's that place of love. That's the highest seat of love, the highest seat of honor, the highest seat of praise, the highest seat that anybody can attain unto. He's at the right hand of God. God the Father put him there. He said, I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Oh, being so much better than the angels, as he has obtained and by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He said to Christ, let all the angels of God worship him. He said to the Son, thy throne, O God. God said this to Christ. Yes, he did. Hebrews 1 verse 8. God said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, believer, you remember this. That one in whom the Father delights, that one whom the Father has set there at his right hand, he is your advocate with the Father. He's your intercessor with the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He's sitting there right now, right this minute. He's sitting there. You know what he's saying? Father, I want Art Darmiento with me. I want him to behold my glory. He's saying, I want Christine Keller here with me. I want her to behold my glory. The glory I had with you before the foundation of the world, Father. He says she's troubled. He's troubled. They're troubled. Oh, they got Satan puffing at them. They got the world puffing at them. But I've got them hedged about, Father. I've redeemed them. I've paid for all their sins. I've robed them in my snow-white garment of righteousness. They're as holy as I am holy. They're as righteous as I am righteous. The glory thou hast given unto me, I've given unto them, that they may be one even as we are one. Father, I will that they be with us where we are right now. And the Spirit of God goes forth at His command and He speaks of Him. He speaks what He's heard. And He enters into our hearts and He lifts up the head of our new man and we behold Him seated there. And He makes us to know, you're seated here with me, child. Just a few more days at most. Just a few more hours at most. Just a little while longer, child. You're going to be sitting here with me. Oh, there's a lot of other things we can see there. There's an innumerable company of angels. We can see the spirit of just men made perfect, knowing that God doesn't lose one. But this is what I want you to look real hard. Now, there's one more thing I want you to look at and see there. One more thing. Look there now. Look. Look right now. Look there. There's one more thing that you must see there. You are there. Can you see? That's what he said. He said, I've quickened you together with Christ. I've raised you up together with Christ. And I've made you sit down together with Christ. Now, look over with me at Colossians chapter 3. I've been trying to lead us this morning, brethren, just like the Apostle Paul led the brethren at Colossae when he said this, Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, which are They're after the commandments and doctrines of men. He said those things are just a show in will worship. They're just, look at the margin there, neglecting. They're just a punishing of the body. That's all that is. Don't punish your body. Don't punish your body. It belongs to the Lord. Now look here. If you're dead with Christ, don't live as if you really live in this world. Don't let the cares of this world trouble you. Look at Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Brethren, that takes some effort. Seek those things which are above. Really do. Like we've been doing here this morning. Seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. You see, that is seeking and setting. These things take some diligence. Enter into your closet and set your affection on Him. Look at this. Not on things on the earth. That means we're going to have to tune out this world. That means we're going to have to turn away from this world and set our affection on things above. Look, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Did you behold Christ just a little bit this morning? Did you behold Him just a little bit in this hour when we've been talking about these things? Then do these things more often. Seek Him. Set your affection on Him. Draw near and talk with your Savior. There's no distance between you and Him. No distance. That's right, no distance. He's in your heart and in your tongue. Call on Him. He's near. He's near. Go there and sit down at His feet. That's right. Go there, sit down at His feet, and ask Him for strength to mortify the longings of your fleshly man. It requires some setting. It requires some seeking. But then, do this too. See. See that no matter how you feel, no matter how you think and what your feelings are, the truth of the matter is, you are seated there with Him. That's right. We are together there with Him, brethren. There's no greater security. There's no greater power. There's no greater peace. Seated together in Christ our all and in all. Amen.